This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, August 3rd of 2022. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear from the State Attorney General about restitution payments and student loan forgiveness to thousands of Coloradans as part of a nationwide settlement with a student loan company. We'll share a speech by a youth environmental activist given yesterday in Superior as part of a National Day of Action, calling on the president and the governor to declare a climate emergency. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's the Hightower Lowdown. On today's A Public Affair, we'll have the latest episode in History Colorado's Lost Highways Radio documentary series. Today's installment examines the origins of policing in America through the lens of the Denver Police Department, how their role in communities has transitioned over time, what happens when they abuse their power, and the long struggle for change. Then at 9:30, Uncle Jeff will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Nicole Rubin.
Boulder County Commissioners unanimously approved a series of ordinances yesterday aimed at preventing gun violence. The measures include a ban on the sale, transfer, and purchase of assault weapons, and raising the purchase age of a firearm to 21. The new age restriction pertains only to purchase, not possession. Other measures are similar to ordinances recently approved by the cities within Boulder County. A group opposed restrictions on firearms, Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, has filed a lawsuit against the town of Superior over the new laws. Kansas voters yesterday rejected a ballot measure that proposed amending the state's constitution to strip access to reproductive health care rights enshrined within. That means that Kansas will not join other states bordering Colorado mulling restrictions on bans on abortion. Colorado has seen a rise in patients seeking abortions since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Roe v. Wade ruling. Many of those patients are coming from other states that quickly instituted bans or restrictions via so-called trigger laws. The Kansas ballot question was the first electoral test of voter sentiment on reproductive rights since the Supreme Court ruling earlier this summer. Supporters of reproductive rights are calling the victory a landslide, with the voters turning out against restrictions by a wide margin. Residents in the East Colfax community will convene a community forum today, calling for police accountability in the wake of a shooting that killed a respected community leader. East Colfax Neighborhood Association board member Ma Kang was shot and killed by a stray bullet while unloading groceries in front of her apartment building last month. Residents held forum with police and elected officials shortly thereafter to express their concerns about public safety and ambulance response times in East Colfax. They demand that public safety agencies resolve issues in the 911 system that route East Colfax calls to Aurora, install high-quality cameras, and increase foot patrols at New Freedom Park. They also want an investigation into the cultural competency of 911 dispatchers responding to calls from the largely immigrant and refugee community. Today's meeting in East Colfax will be their second public forum with law enforcement officials to hear plans to deal with public safety issues in the community. The Boulder Valley School Board updated the community Tuesday on a project list for a capital construction bond issue worth $350 million. The issue is planned for the November election. This would increase Boulder School Valley's district debt limit from about $1.6 billion to about $4 billion. According to the Daily Camera, projects would include a new building for New Vista High School and a new school to relieve overcrowding at Erie's Meadowlark School, and about $36 million to expand technical and vocational education. The board is set to vote at its August 9th meeting. Boulder County secures funding to expand mental health diversion programs. KGNU's Christian Garibay has more.
The Boulder County District Attorney's Office has acquired funding to help expand upon its current mental health diversion program. The DA's office started the program back in 2018 as a means to help people who get arrested get screened for mental health treatment and help prevent them from engaging in criminal activities. The DA's office hopes to use the funding to help create a second behavioral health navigator so that more people can be helped. These programs would help stabilize the lives of these patients by providing access to resources such as mental health and substance abuse treatment, Medicaid, housing, and other basic needs. The program has since helped 121 people since its creation, and 92% of these people have completed the program, have their charges dismissed, and continue with a normal routine. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
Denver economic development and opportunity urges people to eat and shop locally and support neighborhood businesses by investing $2.15 million of federal pandemic recovery funds into Denver's most impacted neighborhoods. The city's program is now accepting applications from businesses, nonprofits, and community groups to give between $20,000 and $200,000 for qualified activities. This funded project is expected to serve marginalized populations and is on a fast track. Applications are now open for grants and are due by August 25th and should be delivered by the end of the year. The budget is from Denver's allocation of Federal American Recovery Plan Act funds. Expect partly cloudy conditions during the morning and some isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. In Boulder, it is a low of 67 and a high of 86. In Fort Collins, it's a low of 59 and a high of 88. In Denver, it is a low of 71 and a high of 89. Outside of the Boulder studio, it is 70 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Nicole Rubin.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Nearly 7,000 Coloradans pushed into onerous student loan repayment terms can expect checks in the mail soon, as this week, as part of a settlement agreement. Navient, one of the country's largest student loan servicers, has been ordered to provide $1.85 billion in relief to borrowers nationwide. The settlement results from legal action brought by 39 state attorneys general, over allegations of predatory lending practices by the company. As part of the settlement agreement, Navient will forgive around $35 million of student loan debt of more than 1,300 Coloradans and send out restitution payments to around 7,000 more. KGNU's Shannon Young got the details from Colorado State Attorney General Phil Weiser.
First, let's get all the listeners up to speed on this case. What's the backstory and how did we get to this point?
Navient is a firm that services student loan debt, which means if you're a student and you take out debt to finance education, there's a decent chance Navient is the one managing the debt. And Navient had a responsibility to act lawfully and fairly. Instead, they deceived people and engaged in predatory action, often encouraging and pushing people into plans, often called forbearance, that accrued additional interest, left students worse off, while telling people that it was the better choice. So a lot of students, and here in Colorado, these are 7,000 checks, were hurt by Navient's conduct. We took them on, and we're bringing back relief.
So get more into detail about what exactly was unfair, deceptive, and predatory about Navient's practices.
Let's imagine you're a borrower for your student debt, and you call up Navient and you say, I'm interested in my loan plan options because I'm wondering, are there some other ways I can manage the debt that may leave my debt load burden less? And they say, oh yes, we have a recommendation for you. The best thing you should do is go into forbearance and you should essentially not pay any debt and you're gonna be better off. When you say that to someone and you don't say what is the true consequence, by the way, you'll keep racking up more and more interest on your student loan, you're misleading them. What basically is worth knowing is they were putting people in loans that hurt people, acting really without regard for the consequences to the borrowers and their families, ensnaring people in this trap of debt, all the while misrepresenting what would happen. Let me give you another second problem that also happened. They would issue subprime loans, high interest loans, to students who were attending for-profit colleges and colleges that couldn't get other loans because they knew the students wouldn't actually be able to pay back the loans. That's another problem when you say to somebody, oh, I'm going to give you a loan for this education, and I know you're not going to be able to pay it back, but I'm just going to have this saddled around your neck. Those sorts of borrowing practices, those sorts of lending practices, hurt people, and that's why we took action here.
One important piece of context in this discussion is the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Can you describe what that is for listeners who may be unfamiliar with it?
The federal government has made a promise to public servants, think firefighters, police officers, teachers, who go to college, have debt. The promise is spend 10 years in the public sector and we will forgive your student loan debt. In order to qualify, you have to have that 10 qualifying years. Unfortunately, Navient ended up making decisions that made it harder for people to have the qualifying periods, putting people into non-qualifying repayment periods when they shouldn't have. In this important settlement with Navient, we got people an opportunity to effectively go back and get those time periods restored towards qualifying time periods. So if you are interested in this public service loan forgiveness opportunity and Navient is your student loan servicer, you need to pay attention. You may be able to get your public service loan forgiveness sooner than otherwise.
In the case of Colorado, why are some loans being forgiven outright and other borrowers are receiving these $260 restitution checks?
The nature of this settlement was we had to basically put people into two categories. In one category were some of the most extreme cases where people were treated in what we saw as a pretty egregious manner, and we were able to push for the type of, let's call it, larger scale loan forgiveness and or debt cancellation. In other cases, which were more impact, call it relatively not as egregious, we were able to get this $260 back to everybody. I recognize that for a lot of people, the damage done to them by Navient may not be fully repaired by the settlement, but this is gonna go a long way to giving people something back. In some cases, a very meaningful settlement back, and for other people, a chance to get their public service loan repayment program quicker than they otherwise would because they can effectively fix the mistake that Navient made.
In general, are there any red flags that prospective student loan borrowers should be on the lookout for in seeking out loans to attend schools?
One of the major headlines here, and this is not a new story, if you take out debt to finance your education, it's important that you be aware of the consequences of that debt, that you have your eyes open, and that you recognize that those who may be giving you that debt don't have your best interest at heart. And in this case, those servicing that debt may not have your best interest. That's why we have a student loan ombudsperson at the Attorney General's office to be a champion for student borrowers. Please go to our website for more information about our student loan ombudsperson so you can get educated and protect yourself.
And finally, aside for the consequences, for example, like what this settlement represents, what are the chances of having more meaningful regulation when it comes to this industry in general?
Our office has been a leader fighting for students and fighting against predatory practices, either by debt servicers, lenders where appropriate, and also for-profit colleges who've taken advantage of students. We've been pushing for fairer treatment, including something called the borrower defense rule, which means if you were deceived, misled into taking on debt, like those for-profit colleges I mentioned earlier, that debt shouldn't be on you to pay back when you can't get the job you were promised. It should be on the institution who pushed you into that debt. So we're pushing for these sorts of reforms. There's now attention to this issue at the Department of Education, and we're going to keep fighting for students.
I've been speaking with Colorado State Attorney General Phil Weiser. Thanks for coming on the program to speak about this issue.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
For KGNU and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Shannon Young.
Marshall Fire victims and environmental advocacy groups gathered yesterday in a charred former neighborhood of Superior to bring attention to the need for climate action. One of the participants, an 11-year-old girl named Madhvi Chitur, gave a speech urging government leaders to not only declare a climate emergency, but also calling on President Biden to use executive powers to address the worsening climate crisis. Event organizers say that an official declaration would enable the president and Governor Polis to make real climate progress in transition to renewable energy. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better has the story.
Hello, everyone. I am Madhvi Chitor, 11 years old, founder of the Ecoethics Movement. When I was 5 years old, I came to know about the plastic pollution and its root cause, the oil and gas industry. Even the oil and gas industry has destroyed our planet. ExxonMobil, the biggest polluter in America, plans to pump 25% more oil and gas in 2025 than it is today. If the rest of the industry pursues even modest growth, the consequence for the climate will be disastrous. We are already heading into the disastrous path. Many countries in the African continent are also auctioning off lands in the Congo Basin for new oil and gas permits. The oil and gas industry must be held accountable for the environment devastation caused by fossil fuels and covering up what they knew along the way. I will list all the various environmental devastations caused by the oil and gas industry. Number one, plastic pollution. It is predicted that there will be more plastics than fish in the oceans by 2050. Plastics are the byproduct of the oil and gas industry. They make huge profits out of plastics too. In 2021, after nearly 2 years of my determined efforts, working with 35 mayors across the state, with Governor Polis and with State Representative Lisa Cutter, Alex Valdez, Julie Gonzalez, now single-use plastic bags and styrofoam containers are banned in the state of Colorado. But still, there are many more ways the oil and gas industry is pumping plastics into our societies. Let's refuse plastics! Number two, coastal cities and small Pacific and Caribbean islands are struggling to keep rising sea levels at bay. Cities like Miami Beach, Florida, Galveston, Texas, Ocean City, Maryland, all have 70% of their housing in the risk zone. Number three, coastal and Midwestern states watching mega rains causing flooding, destroying crops and homes. Like Kentucky, like it's happening now. Number four, forest fires in Colorado, where we're standing right now, like the Marshall Fire in California and also all over the globe. I recently came back from an activism combined vacation trip from Europe and was caught in the heat wave of 116 degree Fahrenheit in Spain and witnessed forest fires. My dad also volunteered for Marshall Fire residents. Number five, drought. It's happening everywhere globally. All must be aware of the water scarcity in Lake Mead and Lake Powell, a lifeline for millions in the Midwest in the US. Number six, fishing communities are losing catches due to warming waters. Number seven, land temperatures rising in Colorado and also globally. In India, the land temperature has risen to 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit. Number eight, air pollution. Denver was rated in the top 10 cities for air pollution in August 2021, primarily because of ozone caused by oil and gas companies. Number nine, water pollution. Many are aware of microplastic pollution, but many are still not aware of PFAS. It's a dangerous, non-biodegradable, bioaccumulating chemical that is polluting our aquifers and used by the oil and gas industry for fracking. Well, by bioaccumulation, I mean like our dairy, beef, fish, crops, all are contaminated and made non-consumable. I repeat, non-consumable because of this chemical. I worked with Governor Polis to declare March as PFAS Pollution Impact Awareness Month, and in the previous legislative session, I worked with State Representative Ms. Lisa Cutter and Governor Polis to ban PFAS use by oil and gas companies and in many consumer products. It is the first in the U.S. and the world to ban PFAS usage by oil and gas companies. Please visit my website to know more.
Please give me your name and then tell me about preparing that beautiful speech that you put together today.
My name is Madhvi Chitor. I am 11 years old, and right now we are in Superior, Colorado. This is the area where the Marshall Fire has been. So many people have lost their homes due to the oil and gas companies, and they're just like keep polluting, and then they're not even accountable. They're not even saying it's their fault, and they just keep going.
What have you been doing here?
So we are in a big group of people. I'm included. All activists, everyone, multiple stories, youth, adults, everyone came here just to convince Biden and police to declare a climate emergency and then use their executive powers to just to stop this climate change. I just want people to come together, organize these kind of like climate strikes, rallies, meetings. We must all just stand together. We must do our part to stop this climate change. It's very important. We must also demand, and we must demand the governments to take action, governments, businesses, all the top people to take action with stopping the climate change. And I also have this campaign called Parents to the Polls. It's because children, they cannot vote. And so we have to convince all adults, parents, grandparents, they must all vote for the right government, the government that will help stop the climate change. That's why I started this campaign called Parents to the Polls. Everyone can join and support, also like spread the word as well.
For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo-Better.
And time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. And I want all good people to know that the city of Boulder is going to have free bus transportation for the month of August. And this is really quite remarkable because we all know that gas is a problem for many reasons. You know, we could think of 100 reasons, traffic, accidents, all of that stuff. I think we need to realize that public transportation needs to be the way of the future. You know, I'm almost 70 years old and I've never learned to drive a car. I take the bus to go to the airport and fly somewhere, use public transportation, subways, buses. It's an adventure, and I can be looking at the plants and, looking at TikToks or taking a nap or answering emails on the ride there. So if you don't know how to use the bus, there's a website where you go RTD schedule and, basically you say where you're starting from and where you want to go to, and it will tell you all of the options. You know, it took a lot of energy to learn to drive a car, and it could take a little bit of energy to learn to use public transportation or carpool or walk or whatever it is. But I'm just calling on all of us to not just talk about what we want to do to help the world, to help the planet, to save the earth. We need to do something about it. So here's an opportunity to show up as best you can, whatever you can do. I also want to say that I raised two kids in downtown Boulder without driving a car. Some of you might remember Penny Lane. I lived downtown, so I could always find them at Penny Lane. But in any case, consider learning how to use the bus. Bring something to read with you. Learn how to do it. It's so simple. You can get an eco pass in the future, but give it a try. Be part of the solution rather than complaining about the problems. All right. Thank you for listening to this rant. What can I say also? Being a pedestrian, I don't need to go to the gym. I just walk around. I'm looking at all the wild edible plants. I'm saying hi to my neighbors, smelling the flowers, collecting seeds, taking pictures with the phone app, picture this so I can identify everything. And of course, I have my own phone app, in case you didn't know, called iPlant with Brigitte Mars. So once you figure out what something is on picture this, then you can look it up on iPlant with Brigitte Mars. So hope this inspires you. Peace and blessings, and may the force be with you. Brigitte Mars.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Stewart. Special thanks to Nicole Rubin, Christian Garabay, Shannon Young, Rosanna Longobetter, Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown and then a public affair. That's after these news headlines from the BBC.